This is an interview with Charlotte Kelly for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program. The topic is women's history and how life has changed for women. The interview is being done by Beth Burr at Charlotte's home on Navajo Avenue in Lehigh Acres, Florida. This is Friday, the 23rd of February, and it's about 10 o'clock in the morning. All right. We're just going to start back. As far as you can remember, I want to know about your neighborhood, where you grew up, your family, what you and your friends did for fun, a little bit about early education in school, and any differences, if you saw any at that time, between the boys and the girls. That sort of thing is what I'm looking for.
Well, I grew up on Mill Street, and there was a family next door to us. Their last name was Wagner, and on the other side, the family's name was Gross, and they both had large families. There was 6 children in our family. We played outside a lot. We never had any fear about going out after dark. We played hide and seek. We did all kinds of acrobat tricks out in the yard. We would have theaters. One of the neighbors had a enclosed back porch, and we put a blanket across it for a curtain, and we'd have shows. Before the show, we would get the cats and the dogs in the neighborhood and have a parade around the block. We would dress the animals up, and we would dress up in some of our mother's old clothes. Even though they were dragging on the ground, we thought we were just it. I remember one time I had a doll. It was so big, and it sat out on the front steps, and the friend of my mother's drove by. She stopped quick, and she backed up. She thought it was my brother Pat sitting on the steps, and she ran up to the doll. I was quite surprised to find out that it was a doll, but it was as big as a baby, and I just loved that doll. To this day, I don't know what happened to it. I went to Sunday school to the Methodist Church. The Sunday school class there, and this one Sunday school teacher was going to go south, and I said to her, "When you go down there, every time you eat a banana, think of me." Which she told me when she came back. That's what happened. She says, "Every time I ate a banana, I thought of you." She said, "Well, I left the Methodist Church when I was a teenager because it seemed to me that all the class talked about was where they were going and what they were going to do and the dates that they were going to have and things like that, which I really wasn't interested in it. I was interested in Girl Scouts and camping. Used to go to Camp Pete for the Girl Scout camp."
Where was that at?
That was in Conneaut.
Was it?
And we would camp out. I know one year it rained so that we all had to go into the dining room with our beds.
Mm-hmm.
But we had fun anyway.
What about school?
School, I went to Broad Street School. And from there, I went to Old Main. They changed the boundary lines. I didn't, from Main Street School, I went to Conneaut Junior High and then to Conneaut High School. As I look back, I see that every school excepting the junior high school, which is now the high school, has been torn down. I said, "They're trying to tell me something." I enjoyed school, especially the fifth grade. I always remember Miss Benson. She had a convertible, and she used to give the kids, if they stayed after school, she'd give the kids home a ride home in it. And I know more than once I had stayed after school, not because I had to, but for extra things, like we used to clean the blackboard and the erasers and things. And I know she read the Bobbsey Twins to us, and I really enjoyed that. We had that special time when it was story time. If everybody attended class, we had a chart on the board, and if everybody was there in the morning, you got a half mark on the chart, and if they were there in the afternoon, you got another half mark. And when that chart got filled, you got a day off.
Oh.
So that was an incentive so that the kids were to school unless they were actually sick.
Right.
I know we had plenty of them. And then another thing she did that was very interesting was in geography class. We took a matchbox, which was a large size matchbox, and we decorated it and put emblems on it. Every place we went, we could put an emblem on it, like if we went to Berlin or in Germany and places like that. And wherever we went, we would pick up something as a souvenir. Well, when we got through, our matchbox wouldn't hold all of our souvenirs. That was an interesting way to learn geography.
You've obviously remembered it, so it had some
it really
worth
worked.
To it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in high school, there wasn't too many memories. It was studying and work on the side, like that, you know.
Where did you work through high school?
Grandma Burr had a little grocery confectionery store, and I used to work for her. And I dipped so much ice cream that as I got older, I never wanted to see any more. In them days, your ice cream was hand-dipped.
Mm-hmm.
You took a metal container and slid a cardboard container into it, and then you packed the ice cream in there until it was full.
Did more of that than you care to remember, probably.
Right. And I remember ice cream suckers. Grandma Burr was one of the first ones to have them, and she handmade them. She took a wooden stick, and she put a little cardboard disc on it, and a scoop of ice cream on top of that, and then dipped it in the chocolate. And that was like the Eskimo pie.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that very well. I used to do housework for different people in Conneaut, and then I spent most of my summer vacations at my grandparents' in Wesleyville, Pennsylvania. Seemed to me the day school was out, I was on the train and went to Wesleyville. I got off the train in Erie, took a streetcar, and took it to the end of the line, which was the street that they lived on, and would walk up to their house. It wasn't too far from there. The streetcar conductor would take the money box from the one end of the car to the other end, and get out and change the wire overhead, and start his way back to town. We used to go to Erie shopping quite often. That was a big thing. I would go with my grandparents to the market. There was this large Parade Street market, and it was so white. Everything was white. All the counters were white, and everything in there was just white. And it seemed to me that most of the people that worked there were white. And we would pick up whatever we wanted for the week. We would get the meats and the vegetables and that. And that was always a Saturday morning trip to market. And over the market, there was a skating rink, and used to go roller skating.
Mm-hmm.
And really enjoyed that.
Okay. Anything else about childhood? You've done well.
Not that I can think of offhand. Okay.
Another thing that I'm interested in is how, like, national events affected you, your family, like the Depression, if you remember anything about how the Depression affected your family, or was it, do you remember it being hard on the family, or?
No, I can't remember as it was ever hard on the family. I know that sugar was rationed, and this was World War One.
World War One.
That my father was in.
Okay.
And at that time, well, he was in the war. I goofed this up. He was in World War One. I was born the year after he came home, but the Second World War. We didn't have hardships in our family. My father worked all the time. The Depression didn't affect us. And I said that the only thing I can remember, instead of a new pair of shoes every week, it had to be once a month. So we didn't have what you would call a hard time. And I remember food being expensive. I remember paying 60 cents a dozen for eggs, and I was just a teenager and went to the store. And when you went to the store those days, it wasn't a supermarket. You went in and you stood on one side of the counter and everything was on the other side, and you told the clerk what you wanted and they set it down on the counter. That was the same with meat. It wasn't prepackaged. You had to go in and pick out what you want. They would weigh it, and you would buy it that way.
Very different from today's world. What about working? We'll go to your careers.
Well, I've always worked from the time I was out of high school. One of my first jobs was working for a family that needed somebody to stay with this lady, and it was an enjoyable job because it was at a beach home.
Oh.
And she had had tuberculosis. She was over it, but she needed somebody there to do the cooking and things like that, which I did, and I was there that whole summer. Well, then when they moved back to their winter home, I believe it was her sister that was able to come and stay with them. So I got a job in Erie at a boarding house. And that's where I met Alfred Birch, whom we married. We had two children. I worked at Palakas. That was a candy store, but I worked in the kitchen making sandwiches, and
did they have a deli as well? Were you making them to sell, or was it just for...
No, you made them. They had a small restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Besides the candy, and then they had an old-fashioned ice cream bar where you would go up to the counter and sit, and they would serve you ice cream and that. From Palakas, I wanted some place to work that was closer to home. We had moved out to Harbor Creek, and I wanted some place to work, so I worked for Miller's Barbecue, and they were only a seasonal place. They were only open in the summertime. So when they closed, I happened to go in town, and I said something about, I guess I was going to get part-time work at the W.T. Grant Company. And so this relative of mine that worked there says, why don't I go up and apply for a job, which I did. And I got the job. I run the elevator for a couple of years, which gave me my ups and downs when I quit because of transportation. I stayed at home. Before I went to the Grant Company, I worked for Lovell's during the war, making airplane parts for airplanes, and that was in Erie. But then, to get back to Grant's, I was off about 6 months, and personnel manager called and wondered what I was doing. I said, not much. She says, well, my elevator operator is sick. Would you come in and help me out? I said, yeah, I'll come in. So I went in, and I worked a couple weeks till the girl could come back. And then I was told that there was two openings. There was one in the yard goods department and one in the drapery department. Would I like either one of them? And I said, well, I wasn't planning on full-time work, but yes, I'd like to work in the drapery department. So I started out, the lady who had it and had given her resignation was supposed to work with me for about a week, show me the ropes, how to order, and how to set up the department, and so on and so forth. She went to lunch the first day and never came back. So I learned it, and I learned it the hard way, and what you learn the hard way, they can't take away from you. You'll never forget it. Well, I worked for Grants for 28 years. They had an anniversary party for me on my 25th year. I worked there until 1975 when the store closed due to bankruptcy. Our store was making money, but Grant's closed all the stores.
Mm-hmm. What about on the job? Were there specific men's jobs and women's jobs, or was there some intermingling? Or
well, I know that there was what I did, most everybody did. At Grants, everybody did either way.
Okay.
But I do know that I had worked my way up in the store, and I was a supervisor. I was in charge of several departments, but also the men had a higher pay scale than what the women did.
Even though you had an equal job?
Even though I had an equal job, the men were paid more than the women.
That just
yeah.
amazes me.
And this was even up into the 70s, it was still that way, or had they, did they start to correct it, or?
No, that was that way when the store closed in 75. It never was changed.
Oh, boy. what have you seen, just, you know, within your working, just within everyday life, how things have changed for women from the time, you know, that you were little, that you saw what your mother was doing, you growing up, and now, you know, with your own daughter and granddaughter. And
well, I have found that more women are working than they did when I was a child. When I was a little girl, there was very few women who worked outside of the home. One man salary could take care of things, which it's a shame that it's not that way today. I think our children would be better children if they had someone at home to guide them. After they've grown up, if the parents or mother wants to work, I can see no harm in it. But I do feel that a child, until they're a teenager and out on their own, should have better supervision in the home.
Do you think it needs to be the woman in the home?
No, it doesn't have to be the woman. It needs to be somebody.
Just somebody.
I think a lot of men can do just as well as the mother can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you vote?
Do I vote? Yes, I do.
Okay. that's another thing that I'm interested in is the way, like politics, women in politics. They were ignored for a very long time. Women didn't get the right to vote until after you were born. So they were, you know, considered second-class citizens. And I was just wondering what you thought of women being in politics and how that has changed over the years, what you've noticed.
I think that women should be in politics. I think that their version of the different things. Well, let's see, how will I explain that? I have said that if we had a woman president, we wouldn't have the problems that we have today. I was glad when women could vote that you could have your say.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody doesn't vote, it's they shouldn't complain to how things go.
Yeah, and that's... Do you think it's as equal as it's going to get, or, I mean, do you think...
No, I think it's going to get more equal than what it is. I think we are going to get more women into politics, we're going to get more women into offices, and I might not live to see it, but in time, we're going to have a woman president.
Good. I hope I live to see it.
Yes, you just might, Becky.
Do you have anyone who served as like a role model? Anyone that you looked up to as a kid or even later in life that helped form your ideas, opinions?
Both of my grandmothers. Grandma Burr, sort of in the business world, was sort of a role model. And Grandma Domer, she was too. I just idolized her.
Why?
Well, she just had so much love in her.
Oh, did she? You make me cry, too.
She's the one that I always went and spent the summers with.
Oh, okay.
Not only summers, but they would come to Conneaut to our home for Christmas or Thanksgiving. And when they went home, I was with them. I went back home with them. And when I was, before I could walk, I don't remember it back that far, but they took me home with them and practically raised me. I learned to walk when I was at my grandparents.
Oh.
And of course, I always went home to go to school, but outside of that, I was there.
Right.
A lot of Fridays or Saturdays I'd go to my grandparents, and then Saturday I'd come home on the nickel plate train.
So it was more of a mother figure than a grandmother figure, almost.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. That's neat. Jumping to the present. actually, I want to ask about your grandmother owning the store. Was that uncommon? Were there other women business owners at that time, or?
I think it was unusual. I don't know of another woman who had a store. When Grandpa Fur passed away, Grandma had to do something for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, as I say, a younger girl. I can't remember what year it was, but she opened up a store in what they call the Harbor Block. And it was a pretty good sized store. Then from there she had a store down on the corner of 15th and Buffalo.
Okay.
I think that was the corner it was on. Then she went up to that little house on the corner up by the railroad tracks. The street behind Sandusky. She had a smaller store there. And that's where I worked. I worked in the Harbor Block, and then I worked in that one for her.
Okay.
And
so she opened this all on her own. She did this all on
her
own.
She did that with the help of her sons, with my father and my uncle Howard and Uncle Bill, who helped her get organized there in the store. She ran it herself.
Yeah, but it was hers. That's
mm-hmm, it was her store.
Great.
Uh-huh.
Good for her. Now we'll jump to the present. What do you do today to keep busy?
Well, that's the $100 question. I do a lot of sewing. I make most all my own clothes. The neighborhood knows that I sew. I do all of their alterations. There isn't a week goes by but what somebody comes and wants something done. I work at the church. I'm the assistant secretary there. I'm the director of the WOM, Women on Missions.
What is that? What do you do with that?
Well, we have our prayer sessions, and then we have a half-hour social, and every year we make something special for the nursing home.
Oh, okay.
There's about 125 people in the nursing home here in Lehigh, and we have a project that we make something for them. Now, this year, we're going to make them lap robes, so we're going to have to end up making 125 lap robes.
And do you, like, meet weekly to do this, or...?
We meet once a month, and then you
okay.
work on your own at home.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And then I do a lot of crafts, like teddy bears, and I make dolls. But not very successful with gardening down here because it's so hot, and you have to water, and which I fail to do. I don't get out and water it like I should, and it doesn't do too good.
Yeah. Back to the building committee. Talk about how your church has grown.
Well, when we first started out to this little church 5 years ago, we had anywhere from 40 to 50. If 50 people were in church on Sunday, we thought we had a big turnout. Last Sunday, we had 266 in church and 128 in Sunday school. We have a lot of young people. Young people are very active. We have all age groups, and they find things for them to do. We have Vacational Bible School. Last year we had so many in Vacational Bible School that we had to turn them away.
Oh, my.
So we have a building program going, which we've had for the past 2 years, and we've almost got half of what we feel that we're going to need to build this new sanctuary, and it's going to seat 500 people. We're going to bring it up before the church committee next month to see if they're ready to start, and we would borrow the other half. Pastor Tony says that he does not want to strap the congregation with a large debt, and people have gone along with that, and we have had donations and a building fund campaign, and I'm the chairperson of the building fund campaign, and I'm quite proud of what we're doing.
Good. So you should probably start building here soon, then.
If everything goes like we should expect it to, we would start a year from March. We're going to have this a business meeting in March, and we figure a year from this March we would start, unless the funds come in faster than that. And they have been coming in, and as soon as we are halfway there with the congregation's approval, we will start building.
Great. And is it going to be, are you contracting it out, or is it volunteer work?
We have hired a contractor, and he has given us a firm price, and we've got an engineer, and we're waiting for his firm price so that we can have this meeting in March. And there are some of the things that we don't have to, we have people in the church. We have a man who has donated the roof, and he is a roofer, and his crew is going to put the roof on.
Great.
And we have a plumber, and we have an electrician. So those things, they're going to work with the contractor.
Great. I think I asked you all the questions I need to ask you. If you have anything else that you want to add, or anything that you remembered along the way that...
Well, I should say that in 1962, Claire Kelly and I got married. We've been married for over 32 years, mm-hmm. and we moved to Lehigh Acres. Sold our home up north and bought one down here, and we're very happy down here.
Good. It's, so you like Florida? You
I love Florida.
Good. Uh-huh. Although we miss you.
I miss my family up home. I have sister and brother and nieces and nephews, and I do miss the family.
Your kids are here, though.
But our children are here. We have one about 15 miles from us in Fort Myers, and the other one is in Point Siena, which is about 125 miles. So
not too bad.
We do get together with the children.
Good. And what about grandkids?
Grandchildren, I have 3 in Northeast Pennsylvania and 1 in Atlanta, 1 in California, and 2 in Florida. Great-grandchildren, I have 3 in two in California. Two in Florida. Eight in Pennsylvania.
And how often do you get to see?
I don't get to see the great-grandchildren that much. I see the grandsons in Florida, and the one who lives in I have one in Georgia, and that is not his permanent home. He's there as a contractor building a $1 million school just outside of Atlanta, and his home base is St. Croix in the Virgin Islands.
You must hate Atlanta. Being out in the Caribbean. Okay. Anything else? Any?
I think I've covered...
Pretty much covered it all.
My life here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.